I came to the realization to call on God. I said, God, if I don't have the real thing, I want the real thing. I said, in 2,000 years, we've done something. We've changed this. It's not real. Even though all these people speak in tongues, it's not real. And I said, God, I got to know. I'm not going through this and not have the real thing.
Pastor Henry Schaefer, it is a pleasure to be able to have you here on Charisma Magazine Online to be able to talk about your journey and really, this whole thing of deliverance has how God has brought you from being just a pastor, and how God has spoken to you about deliverance is your call. And so you've been a great influence in a lot of people's lives that we're connected with, Greg Locke being one of them. Yes. He mentions you as kind of like a spiritual father or a spiritual mentor. And so we're honored to be able to talk with you, and we want to hear your story. I know we've talked before actually hitting a record here, and my faith has already grown as a result of to your story. So welcome here, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. I'm very humbled to be interviewed by Charisma Magazine. And John, I just love your spirit. I just love your attitude towards the Lord and supernatural things. So just thank you so much for having me. And I'm ready to, whatever the Lord wants me to say, that's what I want to say. I want to honor God. I want to represent the kingdom of God in its fullness. And that's what I want to do in the interview.
Amen. Well, Pastor, we're going to talk about several different things. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is your obedience. In our previous conversation, you talked about how God called you to start a radio station, and you didn't know anything about that. And then God called you into deliverance ministry, and God gave you an amazing experience. I want you to share that story as well. But let's start with your call to ministry. How did God bring you into being a pastor?
Okay, well, what happened in my life, you know, I grew up in church. I grew up in a Congregational Holiness Church, grew up in a Pentecostal Holiness Church and a Church of God. So it's all part of the Pentecostal fellowship. We kind of, you know, was around as we were growing up. But I had always been exposed to Pentecost and the supernatural. So I can tell you the day or the time where I was at when the Lord called me to ministry. It was like I was 12 years old. And it was one of them church services they have. And I know I was kneeling down on the front pew, and I heard the Lord speak to me. So I've called you to preach my word. So, you know, at 12 years old, at the end of the service, I walked up to my pastor and said, Pastor, you know, he was closing out the service. So I'm standing there looking up at him. And I said, I think I just heard the Lord call me to ministry. So he kind of like patted me on the head there, you know, and he says, you'll be all right. So that right there was kind of like, if a pastor didn't believe in me and didn't embrace it, then I struggled with it. See what I mean? And I make sure now when people tell me that, I do not, I embrace their call. If the Lord, they're hearing the voice of the Lord, then and I need to be like Eli and say, when he speaks to you, say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. What do you want me to do? So anyway, that was my call to the ministry at 12 years old. But I would struggle with that for a long time. And as growing up, I would, you know, as teenagers growing up, get in and get out of church, things like that. But there was always knowing what's right and what's wrong. And I think that God has soul ties to you, that he doesn't let you get too far. And then it was in my 20s is really when I really got serious with God, and I really got some training, some biblical training. I was living up in Iowa. And I was under a ministry there in Iowa that, you know, that they were there to gear. They were there to train fivefold ministers. And in that experience while I was there for 3.5 years is where I got most of my, it's not formal training, but it was on the level of seminary training. And so I got it there. But in that, I wanted to share with you, in that experience while I was there, I said, I just can't have this, Lord, you know, am I called to the ministry? You know, did mama call me, papa call me, and all of this. And I really started seeking God there. And in that experience there, because this might be the only time I ever get to share this really with people, is that And you know, when Paul said in the Bible, he says, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. He says, but I was taken up to the third heaven. Well, I can say that it's, I don't know if I was there or so for your understanding, I'm going to say it was a dream, but in a dream is, when the Lord, I had an experience with Jesus and that Jesus, actually set me in my ministry, called me into the ministry. In this, most people will, I'm telling you it's a dream, but it's more of what is called a theophany. Some people call it theophy or theophanies, where the Lord appears, like Paul, he appears, this is your ministry, this is what you will do. And many people look for that. And, but I didn't look for it, didn't seek it, but, I just know that this is what my ministry, my calling is to, you know. So I have no doubt this is, I'm called, this is the ministry. I'm going to walk in it and supernatural things follow. It's crazy. You know what I mean? It just happens. And I just want to serve the Lord.
Well, let's talk about some of those supernatural things. And yeah. I don't want to skip over your story too much, but I do want to, we're going to talk about some supernatural things, everybody, yeah. that mm-hmm. what Pastor Henry's already told me is going to really encourage your faith. And so Pastor Henry, just keep on going. I just wanted to interject right there.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, just things like that. But I think that's one of the things, the being called to the ministry, that there's a lot of people who want to be in ministry. A lot of people are called, they have this unction or what have you, but, you know, I don't know how you get past that because you struggle. If the Lord's called you, walk in your calling and then just serve the Lord and he will vindicate your calling. He will show people that you are one of his fivefold ministers in that. So anyway, so something I didn't share with you before is that I used to work here in Augusta, Georgia, over here for a large pharmaceutical company. And I was there for like 18 years. And so I did instrument electrical work. And in 2000, the Lord said, it's time for you to leave. And I want you to go pastor. Well, this place is like number three pay in the whole CSRA, Central Savannah River area. And I came to a little church that couldn't pay my salary, hardly pay my salary or much less pay for my benefits or anything like that. I think we had like 10 people on Wednesday, a little small church, maybe a whole really comfortably 50 people. And I left my job, got my wife. We came over to Carolina. Vaucluse, South Carolina, and pastored a little small church there. And we were there for, I don't know, within the first year. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to build a church. And, and I met with my pastor's council and they said like they're right there. They said, well, where are you going to get the money at to pay for this church? I said, well, the Lord didn't tell me that. He just told me it's time to build a church. I says, y'all don't even have enough faith to go to the bank. Y'all don't have enough faith to even go to the bank. So we went to the bank and we were approved for $500,000 because of the property and a little bit of money they had set aside. Wow. And when we stepped out and said that we were going to build a church, the floodgates opened and people started coming from all over the place in that little bitty building. And within the next 2 years, 2.5 years, we built a 11,500 square foot building up on the bypass. Our payments was like $5,000 a month when we first went into that thing. And the money was coming, but there was a war that would set in. And the war that would set in was there was a lot of changes happening within the church. I was in my mid-40s, and what was happening was they didn't want to change. The churches just didn't want the change. He had all these new people coming. They were losing power and losing control. And the Lord actually had to, some people separated from the church. And when they separated from the church, they took money, you know, and they thought that, well, we know how to get rid of the pastor. We just hold the money. Well, they didn't realize that, well, I had been, had a career. So I said, man, I'll just go back to work and pastor. So that was a kind of a win-win there. But here's what I want to let you know is that there was times when our payments was still $5,000. And I would say, Lord, and I'd meet with the council. I say, hey, we got a $5,000 a month payment and we don't have the money because I'm working. And I said, we got to figure out what we're going to do. And it'd be like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And then right there in the little meeting room at the front foyer, there'd be a knock on the door And I walked to the front door. I mean, walk right out the room and said, "Yes, sir, what can I do for you?" And it was like the Bell South man. And he was standing there and he says, "Listen," he said, "I've got to put one of these little boxes, you know, telephone connections at the corner of the property. I would like to do it on a church." He says, "But, he says, "We'd like to put it right here on your property." He said, "Would you be open to that?" He says, "We'll pay money for it." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "What kind of money are you talking about?" He says, "Well, what about $5,000? He said, "Would that be all right?" So the very thing that we were dealing with, knocked at the front door, there's the money. And we just, and this happened to me over and over and over. So I know you can cut this out at any time you want. So I got to tell you, I would go to work. Before I go to work, I'd go pray. And I say, "God, we got to have money. We got to have money to make this thing operate. You said, Bill, and it's coming." So I would go to church and I'd say, "Lord, this month we got to have another $5,000. He said, "Money's in the bank." He kept telling me, "Money's in the bank." He said, "Money's in the bank." I said, "Well, I know the money's in the bank. Everybody's got the money in the bank. You know, the bank's got all the money." And I had a lady who was swapping from the old style of doing it in a ledger to QuickBooks. And she was updating everything like that. She called me at work, said, "Hey, you got to come to church. Get off of church. We got something wrong with the books." So I came into church and I said, "Tell me what's going on." She said, "I'm going to tell you." She says, "You've got more money in the bank than what you know." I said, "What?" I said, How much? She says, "You got $5,000 more in the bank than what you think." I said, "How did that happen?" She says, "Well, they made a deposit and forgot to write the deposit down in the checkbook." She says, "You got $5,000 more." See, over and over and over has always been just like this. And God has always shown up to make things happen because I didn't call myself to build that church. The next thing is, of course, you know, interest rates go down, our payments are well manageable now and things like that. And then after we got the church built, I want you to think about it. It took several years to build the church. We got actually in an 05. We started there in 2000 in 05. And at the end of that, because I've always wanted to do something, because I've always worked construction or building. And I said, "Lord, you know, what else you want, you know, the church is built. What's going to happen? What do you want me to do?" And the Lord spoke to me about, I told you about facing the giants. And when the movie came out and he started saying, "I want you to build me a radio station." And it was right at the end, the hills of the church building. And he says, "Now I want you to build a radio station." So I said, "I've never done anything like that." And he says, "You'll be facing giants." And like I had said in the past, we went to Washington, D.C., had to hire an FCC lawyer. The radio station covers 1.4 million people in the Augusta, Georgia market. And what happens is we won the bid. We're supposed to have paid $200,000. We got it for $20,000. And our first time bidders, we made it and they reduced it to $13,000. And the $7,000 that was left over paid our lawyer. Oh, the donation we got to the radio station after that was $13,000. I asked the person, I said, "Why did you give $13,000? I says, "Well, isn't that what you paid for the radio station?" I said, "God wanted to give you money back." So the first donation came in was the amount that we paid for it. So, you know, God's not going to be a debtor to nobody. So I'm just letting you know, he's not a debtor to nobody. So trust the Lord with your money and he'll make sure you get it back. He's not a debtor. He takes care of the people. So we got we got the radio station and we've been on radio, now is since 2014. It started in 07, got to 2014. And, just as soon as 2014 ended up, it was July of 2014 is when I had a supernatural experience. I was called to go to Diverville, Mississippi. And when I was in Mississippi, I was preaching about the supernatural things that I had seen about God, gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits and miracles and gifts of faith operation and all types of things I was sharing. And those things became so prevalent that they were so shocking to me. I said, "God, why am I experiencing so much of this?" And here's what he said. He said, "How else will you teach others unless you have experienced it at least one time in your life?" So I said, there would be times when I would, I'd be praying, you know, like, you know, that he told me that how to stir the gifts up was pray in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And I'd get up every morning. I pray in the spirit like an hour every morning, praying in tongues, stirring up the gift. He said, this is the doorway to the supernatural. The more you pray, the more supernatural happens. Little praying, little supernatural. And I was praying, and I was telling the story of something like this is, I came home from work and I fell on my knees. I got to go to church. I want to make sure my heart's right. And in this incident that happened, in this period of time, is that all of a sudden a window opened up like this. And I was in my bedroom on the floor. It's kind of like dark, about 5:30. You know how when the winter hits, it's kind of dark. And I was praying. And I said, Lord, here's my prayer. And yeah, I wasn't seeking the Lord. I'm like, oh, God, show me, use me. Because I did that in the morning. Now I'm here. I'm coming home at the end of the day. God, I want to make sure there's no sin in my life. I want to make sure there's nothing wrong. There's nothing that, before I go to church, that would hinder anything, you know. And so what happens is all of a sudden a window opens up as I'm praying. I'm kneeling over a pillow, opens up like this. And he shows me a woman from her waist up, her hair, her earrings. He shows me everything about her. And he starts speaking to me. And I'm talking about speaking to him. And he says, she's been to several dentists. They don't know what's wrong with her. He says, I want you to stand up and call her out. He says, I want you to tell her, ask her, does she believe I'll fill her teeth? And he says, tell her I'm going to fill her teeth with the this is crazy, brother. Heavenly filling of my choice. And he says, when she responds to you, yes, he says, you're to lay hands on her for her to receive her healing. And he says, do you understand? And I'm seeing this in an open-eyed vision. I said, yes, Lord, I understand. And I said this here. Please don't laugh at me, brother. I said, Lord, you can show me all this. I said, what color shoes would this woman have on? And he said, blue high heels. He says, you understand? Went away. I said, oh my God. I said, I've only read this in books where God would show them. See, you got to realize this is what kind of stuff was happening to me, is that where God could show you a word of wisdom of what he wanted you to do, you know, in very detail. So I go to church that night, sitting on the front row, my friend sitting right here next to me. We're talking right as the church begins, and he bumps my arm. And when he bumps my arm, I turn and look, and I see this woman, a woman does. She bumps my arm, I turn and look, and that was the view that I saw in the vision. And I looked at him, and I said, brother, I said, what color shoes that woman have on? He leaned over and said, blue high heels. So those are the kind of things that I was teaching about in Mississippi, about how God can use the gift of the Holy Spirit for his plans and purposes through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and how you can stir this up, because this is the supernatural. We're part of a supernatural body. And I was teaching about yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting him use you. And then at the end of that service, this is where it comes in at the end of that. And I prayed for everybody that night. It's an African-American church, hold about 100 people. And man, I'm telling you, they make you pray for everybody. I'm telling you, I love praying. I love going to church. So at the end of the service, they brought a man in who had never walked. Two men toted him in. They were carrying him it was like in a seat, toting him in, one on each side, set him on the front row, and they challenged the Lord. They said, you preach about this supernatural God, pray for him. I said, and he was not in the church service. He was sitting in a side room somewhere. He'd never been in there all night. So all I did was I asked him, and all I did is laid hands on his head. This is all I knew to do. I rebuked the evil spirits that was tormenting him. I had enough understanding that demons cause sickness. I don't know where all these people have a problem with demons, you know what I mean, and sickness. I don't understand where they can't see the connection. Jesus shows us in the Bible. Well, anyway, I laid hands on him, rebuked the evil spirits. And I said, Lord, I pray that you give the man a miracle. And I looked at him and I says, do you want to walk? And he nodded his head. Now he's slobbering because, I mean, he's just that's how sick he was. So I stuck my hand out like that. And I said, grab my hand. And his arm shook like that. And his arm grew out and he grabbed my hand. And I said, now his knees are to his chest. I says, do you want to stand? He nodded his head. And I pulled him. I said, let's stand. And when I did, his knees shook. It was crazy seeing this. Like this here, and his legs grew out and touched the floor. And I pulled on him. And when we pulled on him, he stood up and we walked across the front of the church. And the church came unglued. I see in my mind, I see in my mind, in a cartoon. You ever seen a cartoon building when they're on the inside and the building's going like that in a cartoon? It was, man, they were screaming. They were screaming. I'm talking about shouting. And it was like pandemonium in that place because, see, they knew him. I didn't. And we just walked across the front of the church, and that was the setting up of deliverance for me, because I'd always believed in it, but I knew that I had missed something. And I'm telling you, the church has missed it. You know what I think it is, John? The church is not hungry anymore. They're not hungry for the supernatural. They're not hungry for the real. It's not music. It's not music. It's not lights. And we have that. That's not it. You understand? That's not, you can have that. You can have all the things of God without all that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Brother, I have two questions. I want to talk about this need for the hunger that I get.
That's it.
I have two questions about that experience from that night. First, you had that vision, that open vision with this lady with the blue high heels. I want to know what happened with her.
So
how long was that? How long was that man in that condition?
Oh, how long was he in that condition? I don't know how long he was, how many years he'd been like that. Well, he was like in his 40s. He was in his 40s. And the woman, I did get to talk with the woman. And sure enough, it happened. Like, she had problems with her teeth and things like that. And, that's what I know about her. But the man is, he walked. And after that, it was kind of like, I don't know if that was for everybody else, but it was for me. You know what I mean? An experience with me to really drive me to something deeper. And, there are times that I have learned, and I don't know about these. There are times when God does a miracle, not that I've been a part of, but he's done things where the enemy comes back and regains the ground. And I think that is because that we don't understand spiritual warfare. Is because, like Jesus said, when a spirit leaves and something happens, that it will try to come back. If it does come back, it will come back worse. So that's where keeping out. And I think that's where the faith comes in, to reject the enemy. And don't let him come back in to those things. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So hunger.
Let's talk about the hunger and the need for that. Because
the hunger.
I think that's one of the things that we really deal with, and why there's such a blind need for spiritual warfare and a blind need for deliverance. And we're just blinded to that.
So if you really want to know what happened, is here I am in mid to late 30s. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. But I came to the realization to myself, and I said, I don't believe I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I don't have it. And I came to the realization to call on God. I said, God, if I don't have the real thing, I want the real thing. I said, in 2,000 years, we've done something. We've changed this. It's not real. Even though all these people speak in tongues, it's not real. And I said, God, I got to know. I'm not going through this and not have the real thing. And so I was in my bedroom on a Tuesday. I worked shift and all. I was on a Tuesday, I was praying. And just as soon as the word of the Lord came to me, he says, there's a revival going across town. I want you to be there tonight. I have a word for you. I said, oh my God. See, I can hear him talk to me. And I said, ooh, look here. So I come out of my bedroom. I go into the kitchen there with my wife. I said, hey, I just heard from the Lord. There's a revival going across town. I'm supposed to be across town. And the Lord has a word for me. I says, you want to go? And here's what my wife said, Sister Schaefer, we've been married 49 years, and she's just a gem, I'm telling you. I got the pick of the whole litter. I got the best one of everybody. But she said this here. She said, did he tell you to go? I go, yeah. She said, well, I'm not going then. I said, okay. So I drove 40 miles across town. I go into a church. It holds 300 people. There's like 10 people there. And I walk in. It's an old man. He's in his 70s. And here's what he said. He sat down. He got ready to preach. He said, I don't know who this is for, but this is the only thing I'm going to preach is what he gives me. And he's telling me, whoever's here, to tell you to stir up the gift that he's given you. Stir it up. And I knew exactly what that meant. That meant the gift of the Holy Spirit he had given me. That means stir it up. And so I would go home from that point on, and it would be like 3 months. Every morning I'd get up, I'd pray in the Holy Ghost an hour every morning. I said, Lord, you told me to stir it up. And I just start praying in tongues. I pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And after 3 months, guess what? Brother. Oh, my. It was like everything just started happening. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. All of this stuff just started happening to me. So here's the thing. I don't know if you have the real thing or not, but I've got no doubt in my mind that the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is real. And here's the thing. He says these signs would follow them that believe. So I was to the point to where I'm saying there's nothing happening supernatural in my life. So I don't have it. You know, every now and then something small, I said, I don't have it. But now I got no doubt in my mind. And even some people have told me that when I speak in tongues and I do YouTube, you know, I'm at church and I'm start speaking in tongues on they'll go there and they'll say he's speaking in an Arabic language. YouTube will say that he's speaking in Arabic language. Yeah. And things. So the thing is that I want to encourage you. Don't let the enemy try to tell you that you don't have it. You do have it. Stir it up. That's the power. That's the doorway to the supernatural. He's like the apostles. He told them, don't go anywhere to try to preach, to try to cast out demons or do anything of the supernatural till you go to the upper room and you'll receive power. So being baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have this. You got to stir it up. He told him in the Bible, we got to stir this up. And the more you stir it up, listen, watch what God does. He will vindicate his own word. And these signs will follow those that believe. So you have to get past the point where I was at. I'm not seeing anything. And you got to recognize your own deficit in your own ministry, in your own life. And you start doing a reality check, and then this will stir it up and things will start happening. Is this okay?
This is powerful, brother. This is really good.
This is the way this thing works.
When you started stirring this up and you started praying in the Holy Spirit for an hour every morning.
Every morning.
Let's talk about deliverance. Let's talk about, obviously as God is giving you things to say, you're on a... You have a radio station, so that requires a lot of talking. And it's not a radio station that's music. It's the word of God going forth.
Right. That's right.
So you're talking about stirring up the gift that is within you.
Yes.
Let's dive deeper into that and how you've been training other people. You've been, people have been grabbing a hold of this, and you're seeing more and more things happening as people are stirring up the gifts.
Right. Yes. So, I don't know if we're going to leapfrog here or anything, but I understand that the doorway to the supernatural is praying in the Holy Spirit. I would say I would read books about supernatural things happening. And I would just say, Lord, I want the gift of miracles. I want this. And I desire earnestly the spiritual gifts and all of these power gifts. So I was desiring that. I had the desire, but it wasn't happening. I said, why isn't it happening, Lord? I want it. And he said, you got to stir this up. And when you stir this up, it activates all those 9 gifts. And they come about in the need. When you have need of them, the Holy Spirit knows what you've done, what you need, and that the spiritual gift will operate. There'll be times, listen here, there'll be times when I was at work, witnessing to people. And I was witnessing to a man in my office. I had a big office there and had a couple of desks that other people could share because they worked for me right there. And I'm talking about the gospel. And this guy was super intelligent. You could tell he was very smart. And I didn't know how smart he was. And I was sharing to him about the gospel. And the Holy Spirit quickened me. And he says, don't speak to him like that. He has an IQ of 120. I knew exactly what that meant with the IQ scale. So I scaled back the way I was speaking to him. And I was, people who are very intelligent, you cannot leave anything out. It's this. And I talked about the gospel, the Old Testament, the sacrifice and the blood and taking away, covering a sin and Jesus. And he needed every bit of that. See, most people who have a just normal IQ, we can all fill in the blanks. See what I mean? This guy couldn't. So, and I adjusted the way I was sharing the gospel with him. And then a couple of days later, unbeknownst to him, I said, let me ask you a question, just a regular conversation. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, is your IQ 120? He looked at me and he says, how did you know that? I said, I have ways of finding out. You see, but I'm telling you that, like a word of knowledge in the moment you need it, that's what I was stirring up. See, those kind of things like that is how that how he does that. And there was so many other things that I was teaching that night about things like this. This is available to the body of Christ. This is what we need operating. Now, I'm not talking about being plugged in below into some new age thing. I'm talking about being plugged in or being empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I want to talk about that, because you said you mentioned about plugged in below versus plugged in above.
Right.
And
right.
I think there's, as you look on YouTube, as you look on social media now, you're seeing a lot of things that look good, that look innocent, you know, manifesting, you know, right. People that are just believing, and, you know, this whole power of positive thinking. And there is biblical parts of that, but it's also been manipulated.
Yep.
Brother, let's talk about discernment.
Okay.
And how you can look at these things and see what
okay.
is God and what is not.
I love it, because I did a teaching here. It was, I think, in June of last year, 23, and it's called Pentecost. I do a conference, the odd months of the year, 1, 3, 5, whatever, I do the odd months of the year. I do a conference at our church, a deliverance training. They come from everywhere. Well, one of those was Pentecost, and I taught the importance that if you're going to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the importance of going through deliverance. Now, let me share a moment to you this here. So I've taken a lot of people through deliverance. I've learned a lot of things. So I know of this one. I know these individuals. These are pastors. And as I'm taking them through deliverance, and because they do not struggle with having to believe whether a Christian can have a spirit or not. They know there's something wrong with them. You know, it's like there's pastors who battle pornography, and they preach holiness, and they love God, but this is an area of their life that is not, that something's there that they can't break. And see, this is what deliverance does. And the thing is, for you to say that it's not there is to deny all the people I pray for. So you can't help them. So that's why they come to us, so we can break and call out that spirit of pornography that's going to feed every 2 to 3 months. I think it's going to feed, and it's going to break down that barrier you got. You're going to mess up, and you're going to repent. In about 2 or 3 months, it's going to happen again. We'll see. That's what deliverance does. Deliverance reaches in, calls that thing out. Now you can not have, it's being on the outside. It's not on the inside, and you can resist it. You can't resist what's on the inside. You can resist only what's on the outside. So you can only push down what's on the inside. So I would pray for them, like pornography. Let's stay with the gifts. This one here was prophecy. This guy, man, he can prophesy. And all of a sudden, as I'm taking him through deliverance, a spirit comes up of divination. And I said, who are you? He said, I'm divination. I said, well, I made him renounce. So let's call. He says, no, he needs me. And he said, no, I don't need you. Get out of me. And that spirit of divination came out. So here's what's happening. It's because people do not submit to deliverance. Is what happens is that operating in the spirit of God, in the true gift of God, then all of a sudden, here we go, they shift into something that's not holy. You see, this thing moves in and out like that. This is the way this thing here works. And I'm telling you, the way Pastor Henry did, I said, who took him through deliverance? Tell me who took them through deliverance. Have they been through deliverance? And if they say, well, I said, well, how long? Oh, about 10 minutes. I said, no, I ain't listening to none of that. Because the enemy knows how to get into the gifts of the Holy Spirit functioning in things like this here. So, you know, the Bible talks about how that sweet water and bitter, how can it come out of the same fountain? It's not saying that it's impossible. He's saying that if sweet water or bitter comes out of the same fountain, something's wrong with the fountain. That's what he's trying to teach. So clean out the fountain. And this is what deliverance does. So that's prophecy, that's gifts of the Holy Spirit, and things like that. Everyone needs to go through deliverance, especially if you operate in, of course, baptism and Holy Ghost speaking and going through deliverance. So here's what I want to share with you about having the conference. So we had one in June, I think it was, or May or June of last year. And so there's people, we have 100 people here. And at the, now this is not during the church service. I'm teaching Friday. I'm teaching about the need for deliverance. I'm teaching deliverance. I'm talking about how you got to get this stuff out of you. And that if you're going to do deliverance, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And at the end, that, and during Saturday, okay, let's stop right now. Everybody who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come to the front. 65 people come to the front. No music, none of this here. That's none of that. I said, raise your hands to heaven and say, Lord, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking. These people had never received the Holy Spirit. 65 people at one time received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just came from Tennessee. You may, it's like double digits or minus wind chill. We're up there. People come from Canada, everywhere. Little small church. I'm taking training 50, 60 people. And on Sunday morning, I said, how many want to receive the Holy Spirit and have never prayed and never spoken tongues? It's like 20 people walked to the front. And I said, raise your hands to heaven. And now they done went through deliverance. See, they done went through deliverance. They've been trained. And we pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. 20 people at one time. This church is a man that's going to do this here. And their Pentecostal day won't have nobody a whole year baptized in the Holy Ghost. See, this, if you will get and take people through deliverance first, get the bad stuff out of them. I'm not talking about they're not saved. They've got stuff in them that's resisting. And get that out of them, they easily receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they got to be, and these people are hungry for it. You know, how can people were saying, well, we need to cancel the conference that's going on in Tennessee. And I said, no, there are people flying in from Canada. They don't care how cold it is. Uh-huh. They're coming. They want to be trained. They want to know more about what's going on. Have I got off track here?
Oh, no, brother. You're right on track. We're heading to the right destination for sure.
So that's what needs to happen, that you got to be hungry for it. But everybody needs to go through deliverance. And when I watch that on YouTube, I'm going, that ain't right. That's not the Holy Spirit. I said, that's another spirit. And the thing is because you got to realize I'm in my 60s. And you got people who are in their 20s and their 30s, and they're teaching you. They still novice. I'm just saying, they're just novice. I look back and I go, that's new age. Yeah. You say, I just didn't fall off. I just didn't come out of this thing. You understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And a lot of people can see it. They can see it as well. So that's just the word is be cautious. Don't believe every spirit. And everyone needs to go through deliverance, a level of deliverance in that.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's so much out there that is the counterfeit. But that means if there's a counterfeit, then there's a real as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Pastor Henry, let's talk more about the real, because you had a real encounter with the Lord. And I don't think we talked about that in this recording. We talked about that before we started recording, where you had an encounter with the Lord. Let's talk about the real deal.
Oh yeah. As far as like being called to ministry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was in my 20s and I was seeking the Lord because, you know, I was struggling about the call to ministry. And I said, I can't do this just based off, you know, I just hear, Lord, an unction, you're telling me this here. And I really got serious, started seeking the Lord. And as I told you in the past, that that night when I went to sleep, and I can tell you whether it was a dream. And when Paul says, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body, but I was taken up to the third heaven. And I understand that. Because for simplicity of you saying, well, I don't believe in that. Well, let's just call it a dream then. But it was more than that. And actually what happened is that I was standing on the side of a grassy knoll. It was sunshiny day. And my mom was out there with me. And it was a beautiful day out there. And all of a sudden she pointed up to the sky. And she says, look. And I looked up in the sky and I saw the Lord in the sky standing in the clouds. And I started running towards that. And then all of a sudden, I remember the teaching that when Jesus comes, it will take faith to go up. It's going to take faith. And I said, I believe. And right when I did that, I released off the ground. And I was, this is crazy, brother. I started going up into the sky. And as I started going up into the sky, I got way high. And I did my arms like this, took my eyes off the Lord. And I looked at my arm. I said, look what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, that's not a good thing. I started falling back down. But I looked way out and there was a huge skyscraper that he had went in. And the windows had opened and went right in. And I came across and went right into the same window. When I walked in, I just stepped in. It was a huge hallway. And there was people walking back and forth, left and right. And he was standing right in the middle. And they were bumping into him. And he was just standing there. And I wanted to go to him so bad. I mean, I knew who he was. They didn't. And he says, they don't know who I am. He says, but you'll be the one who tells them who I am. And immediately that moment, I woke up and, or came back to myself. And I went, oh, my God. I mean, it was like I was there. And I didn't tell my wife right off the bat. I told her like later on that day. And I said, I got to tell you something that happened. And then I told her, she said, oh, we got to tell the pastor. So I told the pastor where I went to church at there. And I was sharing with him what had happened. And he looked at me and he says, this happened to you? I go, yes, sir. And so there are people who believe in a theophany. I didn't know what it was. And in that you're called into a fivefold office. Through a direct call from Jesus. And I didn't know what all that meant and everything. So that's what happened to me. And from that moment on, everything that I do, it's like, I just do what he tells me to do. And it worked. Not that I don't have, brother, I've had some struggles, but, it's because, and I know my calling. So, not everybody's call is going to be like that. But if the Lord has called you, then seek the Lord, walk in the calling that you've heard his voice, and God will vindicate your call, into ministry. Not everybody who takes a platform is called of the Lord. Many are mama called, papa called. They're called of themselves. And I wasn't called of myself. I didn't want to do it. I just doing this interview, I go, God has to make me do it because I don't want to promote myself. You know what I mean? But I want to tell you about, I'll tell you about him. He's the one that does it all. Jesus does.
I want to thank you for sharing more in depth about that encounter with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And God's used you to help other people encounter the Lord in a powerful way. And one of those people has been Pastor Greg Locke, who's one of our authors here at Charisma. And he went from being a cessationist to being a continuationist because he had some things that he encountered that he could not explain beyond just God is still alive today. God is, the Holy Spirit is moving. And God used you to help him a lot and to help him kind of figure this stuff out. Could you talk a little bit about that experience and your connection with him?
Yes, because I like to take it back, if you let me, take it back. Remember the radio station? And so all of this here is God setting up his plans for the future. And I don't want to get political here, but at the end of the, was it 2020 election, is the Lord spoke to me and he told me, he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, take the resource I gave you and I want you to broadcast the truth of what happened. So what I did is I connected with Clay Clark, Reopen America Tour. I don't know if you know them or not, but okay. So behind the scenes, I was radio. Now, this is FCC license. This is not internet radio. This is FCC license, and we do broadcast on the web as well. But it's a real FCC license. So it's real media. It's the real deal, y'all. You know what I mean? So I connect with them, and they allow me to interview all of these people. I mean, Roger Stone, Mike Lindell, all of these people and their Christian experience. So we would go and we would broadcast about their Christian experiences and how that good people need to get involved in our country. That's pretty much what it was all about. And in that, I would see Greg Locke, but you know, he was a pastor. I knew he was Baptist. I knew he was Baptist, but it didn't matter to me. At that point, it is good people need to get involved in our country. I don't care what you believe. And that was it. And so I had met him. We'd only talked very briefly. You and I have talked more than I had talked with him until that point already. See what I mean? And I think I interviewed him one time. And, you know, he had a great following and all of that. And then I asked him to come to the church. I got him on television here, that WBPI, a commandant. He was doing a book thing. I said, come on in, do your book thing there on television. We had a little conference we did here. And I said, come by the church. And I says, and do your spiel. I mean, do your, everybody needs to get involved. So he comes to the church. We had a full church that night on a Friday. And I let him do his whole thing. I do not get involved. I don't even go to the front. This is all Greg Locke and our ministry there, Global Vision. And so at the end of that, I'm in the foyer. As I'm standing in the foyer, the Lord spoke to me and he says, take Greg Locke in your office and talk to him about deliverance. I said, he don't even believe in none of this. He says, take him in your office. So I said, Greg, I said, can I meet with you just a moment? So I took him in my office. And I sat down and I started talking with him. And here's what I told him. I explained to him about the man's arms and legs and the things that I had seen. And here's what I told him. I said, Greg, I said, God wants to bring a different kind of freedom to his people through you, other than the freedom we're talking about in the country. He wants to bring a different kind of freedom. And it's the freedom of deliverance. He wants to use you to do it. And I started sharing with him about the things that I had seen. And then I also told him that when I came back from seeing this happen with this man's arms and legs, God spoke to me, John, at the altar, at the church there, as I was seeking the Lord when I came back. And here's what he told me. He says, take your front row out. He said, I'm going to fill it with wheelchairs. And he says, I'm just telling you what he said, bro. I'm telling Greg Locke this. I'm just telling you. I said, here's what he said. Take your front row out. We're going to fill them with wheelchairs. And when they come, you're not going to have to worry about whether the power of God's going to be here. He said, it'll be here. Just do what I tell you to do. And then he goes on to tell me what the Lord said he's going to do. And he said, I'd send people from all over the United States here for deliverance. And I said, Greg, I said, this is what God wants to do, is to bring you to that level there. And he stopped. I talked about 45 minutes with him, maybe 40, 45 minutes. He just listened. And at the end of that, he stood up and he says, Pastor, he said, this is what I've been waiting to hear right here. And he walked out of the door and somebody had given him a couple of books we had there about deliverance. And I thought I would never hear from him again. I said, this is it. I'll never hear nothing from him again. So he leaves. That was 21, December of 21. And he goes out of the church. He goes back to Global Vision. He starts preaching deliverance. Now he's Baptist cessationist. You heard that. And he's teaching and preaching all of this. Demons are manifesting. They're screaming. They're coming out. He's seeing all kind of miracles happen and everything. And he calls me, I think it's February of 22, after this thing had broke out. He says, Pastor, you've got to come. You got to come to Global Vision. You got to come over. We got to talk. So it's just Sister Schaefer and I, we left church after that Sunday. We drove, it's like 5 or 6 hours. No, 7 hours. We get there to Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And we met with his staff. And we met there probably about 3 hours. And I just shared about deliverance and the things that we have seen in deliverance. And I told Greg Locke this here, because you got to realize this is the only time that you're going to be that, I don't know, before people get to them, to tell them that this isn't real. See what I mean? They're going to tell them it's not real. And I said, Greg, you know, just like you missed deliverance being real and Christians having demons and all of that, I said, something else you missed too. I said, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I said, it's real as well. And I said, if you're going to operate in the ministry of deliverance, this is what you need to continue on in making that happen. He says, I want everything that God has for me. And we left from there that evening, and we go back to his church, to the compound there, and we pray with him and his wife and some others there to about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And in the morning time, that morning, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock, I don't know, you can cut this anywhere you think it's appropriate, But he and Ty was sitting there on the in his office. And one had one hand raised, one had the other hand raised, and they was holding hands. And I just laid hands on them. I said, receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And both of them started the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was their experience. They received what the first century apostles did. And that sets them up for the supernatural, because before that, I want to just share with you what's happening here is that Jesus had told his disciples, you can operate in my authority. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, he says, now don't go anywhere and try to cast out any demons or do anything I told y'all to do until you go to the upper room and you will receive power. So that power comes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you operate in authority with the power of the Holy Spirit, that is where you are engaged to be able to engage the enemy. And I had to make sure that I told him that. And then God sending someone, me, that would have to express that. And not only that, John, I will tell you that there are people who they come from everywhere for me to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. It just happens. So God sent that to make it happen. It had to happen that night. Did that make sense? For that minute, for that ministry to go on with it. And from then on, you know, everything happened from there. The church exploded. People started coming from all over the place for Global Vision. And I mean, that's a story within itself. I mean, it's like flipping an entire church or a whole thousands of people. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me when deliverance came to the church. He says, don't say what you're doing is small nor insignificant. He said, because this is bigger than you can imagine. That's what he told me. Because you got to realize in 2015, when deliverance started, it started there at the church. And it was pandemonium that broke out January 1 of 2015. When I went to church that morning, I preached a message about if you're here and you're battling things and you've messed up like Adam and Eve did, and they stood there with their fig leaves covering what they had done, their sin, is that you've got to confess like Adam and Eve did and say, Lord, I'm having problems. And I preached like a 20-minute message. And I said, if you're here and you're battling some areas in your life, you got to come to the Lord and you got to tell him I'm battling some things. And if you will, he'll set you free from them. So that morning, January 1 of 2015, or I think it was actually the third, that was the first Sunday. What happens is I make that message call. They came to the front. Five people came to the front. And when they did, I look there, I'm traditional church of God, traditional church choir behind me. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at these five people. And I said, Lord, who do I pray for first? And at the end, there's a woman and her face is moving like that. Her face is moving. I said, well, God, I guess I know which one I need to pray for first. And I guess I'm going to be the only one to do it. So I stepped up to her. I said, ma'am, what is your problem? She says, Pastor, I'm battling anger. I said, well, that's not a problem. I said, Jesus has set you free from that spirit of anger. I said, say this here. Say, I don't want anger no more. So she says, I don't want anger. And I said, come on up here, anger. I said, come on up here, anger. And it says, no. It came out of her voice, brother, loud. No, she's mine. I've had her for years. The hair on top of my head stood up. This is in church, man. Hair on top of my head stood up. I walked to the end of the people who were standing there. And I looked at the congregation. I said, grab your babies, grab your Bibles, grab your books, leave the sanctuary now. All these people jumped up. They ran out of the sanctuary. And when they ran out, and unless you're going to stay back here and help me pray. And I had like a 10 or 15 people stay back, help me pray for these five people. And I looked back at the doors of the church. You have windows about this wide, you know, so you walk through the door, you don't hit somebody. So it had glasses in the windows like that. All I could see was eyes looking through the door. They wanted to know what was going on in that room. So we prayed with them for the next, oh, I don't know, to 3 or 4 hours. We prayed for them, casting demons out of five people there. But on another note is that, see, the Lord, you talked about radio. See, what the Lord told me to do was he built the radio station, and he told me, he says, now what I want you is put your services live on the radio. So I want you to think of what I just told you. We're not recording something on the radio. It's live. So what's happening live, they're listening in their cars, and I've had people drive in when I gave the altar call and walk in the door, give their heart to the Lord live. You understand what I'm saying? It's not recorded. He says, I want you to put your stuff on there. So that morning I am broadcasting with all them screaming, demons coming out live over the radio. I didn't have time to disconnect it. For the next 3 or 4 hours, they're hearing all this screaming going on in the sanctuary. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. And there's people who finally came to the church. They said, we were out of our church. We had the radio on, and we were glued to the radio. It was like listening to War of the Worlds. And we were listening to the radio, and they came in. So those are the kind of things that when deliverance happened at our church, same thing starts to happen up at Global Vision. People comes from everywhere, and, you know, all kind of manifestations of demons, deliverance, all of those kind of things are happening. But not only with that, miracles happens as well. So this is a deliverance. Deliverance is the end time spearhead of the end time revival. This is it. And if you miss deliverance and you think that this is something small nor insignificant, that you don't realize that God is cleaning up the bride first. The bride recognizes she's got problems and that things are not coming out of the bride, and God's going to deliver the bride. It's Joel and Joel 2:32. And there shall be deliverance in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So the remnant recognizes that she's got some things she needs to get out. So the church gets it first and gets cleaned up. And when the harvest comes, the harvest is coming in with much of the same things that the remnants got or had. And the church will be equipped to help deliver the harvest when they come in, because they went through deliverance themselves. And so that, I believe, that's the spearhead of the end time revival that you're seeing everywhere.
Amen. Amen. Brother, I could talk with you and listen to you for hours, and we might just have to do another interview just to make sure that happens. But before we wrap up here, would you just pray for the people that are watching this and pray for the people that are listening, that they would have that encounter and really have that real experience with the Holy Spirit, that real infilling of the Holy Spirit, or however else that the Lord is leading you. But I just feel like there's people that are so caught up in the wow factor, mm-hmm. that they're missing the real, and they're looking right for the special effects instead of what's real.
You know, there's two passages of scripture. It's Hosea 4:6. Most people know this. It says, my people perish. My people die. My people perish for are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then the Lord started telling me, he said, no, it's more than that. It's Isaiah 5:13. And most people don't know this scripture here. And it says, my people go into captivity for lack of knowledge. One, they're destroyed. The other one, the church is in captivity and they don't even realize it. So there is a spirit that's in the world of mind control, and mind control is control of the church and many people in the church. They know there's something's not right, but they don't know how to get past it. And here's what I'm going to share with you. If you're struggling in your walk, knowing that there's more, there is a demonic assignment to stop you from operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and your destiny that God has for you. See, that word, like debt, those are key words that people that are speakers, they just know. If I use the word destiny, calling, these are things that attract people. But I want you to know is that here's the thing, is that Satan has an assignment. The first assignment against you is to keep you from knowing Jesus. If he fails in that assignment, he has a secondary assignment, and it's to keep you from fulfilling your calling and stand between you and what God has for you. So what I want to, if I could instruct someone, is that you need to make sure that deliverance, if there's anything in your life that is hindering, that don't just think it's something on the outside, but deliverance is for you. And that deliverance came at a cost. And Jesus died for your deliverance. He paid for the penalty of your sin, but he also defeated the enemy that he must let you go in life. And the ministry of deliverance is delegated to the church that he gave. See, we can't pay for your sin. Jesus did that, but he gave the ministry of deliverance to the church. So my job is to instruct you that there are things that will stand between you and your destiny, and it's a demonic assignment. So I'm going to pray that you can understand the ministry of deliverance. Reach out, seek your deliverance. You can walk in the Spirit and the fullness that God has for you, and that God can show you and direct you where you need to be at in life. Is that all right, John? Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your blessing. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come together with John and just share of your goodness and, Lord, of the supernatural that you have used in my life. Jesus Christ receives all glory and honor. Father, we pray that we have represented the kingdom of God well here in this discussion today. Lord, now I pray for the people who's going to maybe listen to this or see this here, that this is, there's a connection in your heart right now saying, God, I know there's more, and this is it. I pray, Father, that they would hear the word, stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost that God has given you, pray in the Spirit, and Lord, that they would start to activate that supernatural that's in them. And Father, those who are in bondage to an area of their life, we come against it. We bind the strong man in every person that's going to listen to this. We bind the strong man, and we say that you have no authority. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that they would seek their deliverance. You would lead them to a well and a hope and a ministry of deliverance that they could be free so they can move forward in life. Lord, I'm looking for great things in the kingdom of God. Lord, I know that your word tells us great end time harvest is coming. Help me, Lord, to build up an army of supernatural deliverance ministries that are ready to take the kingdom of the enemy away from what they have done and take new territory in life. I thank you, Lord, what you're going to do with these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.